WABF 1480.com. Dionne Warwick and the Spinners. It is 828 and 61 degrees in downtown Fairhope. A beautiful Monday morning, April 12th, the second Monday of the month, the second and fourth Monday customary for Fairhope City Council meetings. Therefore, we have Fairhope City Council representative joining us. And this morning, we welcome back Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Fairhope. What a beautiful morning it is.
Very nice indeed. After a crazy Friday night, Saturday morning we had weather-wise.
Oh, yeah.
As unfortunately is as anticipated in Mobile and Baldwin County, quite a few sewer spills, including two reported in Fairhope at the Grand Hotel lift station, 25,000 gallons. Entering a storm drain that leads to Mobile Bay, and 50,000 gallons entering a drainage ditch that leads to Waterhole Branch. And although that's not small potatoes in the big scheme of sewer spills, that's not as massive as we've seen in the past.
Right.
So is our infrastructure improvements already helping?
Well, maybe to a small degree. I'd like to say that they are, but we've still got a good ways to go. As you can tell, you know, seems like every street corner in the city's dug up, and that's just to solve this very thing, are these sanitary sewer overflows. And for full disclosure, Laura, we actually had five of them during that rainstorm, totaling about 80,000 gallons. Now, you know, I don't want to make light of it. We would like to have none, but just remember, when you hear 80,000 gallons, yes, that is sewage, but, you know, that's basically from the influx of fresh water. So not to make it any much better, but it's, you know, highly diluted sewage. So don't think of 80,000 gallons of just sludge. I mean, you're talking, you know, it is mostly water, which, like I said, doesn't make it better, but when you visualize that, you know, and this has to go into these waterways, and yes, does it make it to the bay? Yes, some of it does, but not all of it makes it. You know, there's a natural filtration as it flows across the ground as well.
The two I have reports from, which doesn't mean I didn't get the others. I may have they were very small, because
right.
The two here total 75.
Yeah, the others were totaling
so
five.
Very, very small. At Mobile County, a total different story, over 350,000 gallons into a Slava Creek alone.
Right.
But so I see on tonight's city council agenda several purchases and actions that relate to the current infrastructure and sewer upgrades,
right,
like number 10 for a Larry Newton lift station replacement, getting the engineering consultants, number 13, a consulting for a new well field, and then we have a gas improvements and other services, you know, on the agenda, all for water and infrastructure.
And if you look, you know, you're probably as educated as anyone in the city on it, Lori, but if you look at any of our agendas, you know, our agendas, every council meeting, we usually have one to multiple resolutions funding, you know, further infrastructure improvements, repairs or improvements. You know, we're constantly battling it, and like I've said before, you know, a lot of this is just due to growth. A lot of this is an aging system. There's multiple factors. I don't think that anybody, you know, 20, 25 years ago would have seen the explosive growth that we're seeing here in
right.
Fairhope and in Baldwin County. And so, you know, we're playing a game of catch up, and we are. We're making headway. We're making headway not only in our water and sewer, but in our electric. Electrical substation upgrades. You know, a lot of people forget about that. That's $12 million going on there. There's items on the agenda tonight to improve our gas lines. There's a lot of work going on our gas distribution system. So between, you know, electrical, gas, water, and sewer, we're very, very busy, and we're trying to get it all taken care of as quickly as we can.
Let's go back to the gas, number 11, selecting a professional consulting service for natural gas pipeline distribution compliance for a 3-year contract not to exceed $53,000 a year. This goes back to the state warning or supervising Fairhope and our gas because we weren't keeping up? I refresh our memory on that.
Yeah, you know, Lori, sometimes I get a little rusty on that. We have so much of that right now, but you know, we did receive a letter that said that we needed to catch up on our inspections, and so this will. And you're right. So this will assist us in making sure that we're doing things the way that the law says we should be doing things. And it's just a matter of our gas system growing so fast, the staff can't keep up. And this is a pretty small price to pay to make sure that we're doing things the right way, as opposed to hiring, you know, a lot of employees that, you know, would be busy for a while and then not busy for a while. So we will bring these people in to help us, you know, with our gas distribution system. They'll also do some consulting on exactly where, you know, we have to replace miles and miles of so-called cast iron pipe, and they will advise us where these gas lines should be going in. You know, what's the most critical portions of these lines? So where should we attack it first? You know, you have to have a plan to go in when you're doing miles of improvement, and mm-hmm. and know where, you know, because one thing affects another. You can't just shut one line down because it may affect other lines. So they're also doing things such as that. It's not all compliance, but there is a lot of compliance involved in that.
Let's move to one that is a lot of money. Number 14, $591,000. The City of Fairhope has voted to purchase 46 KV line work materials and related inventory for substation upgrade projects and authorizes procurement without formal bid based on the option allowed by Code of Alabama. The total estimated cost per Stewart Engineering will be $591,000. What is that?
Well, you know, I mentioned the substation upgrades, the $12 million. Mm-hmm. That's just a portion of that, and that's just buying a big chunk of equipment that will be going into one of these substations. So, you know, this 46 KV line, I believe, runs down Morphy Avenue to, I believe, Bishop Road, and then it turns to the north there. So that's, you know, there's a lot of lines that are going to be moved around. The Church Street substation, which is just to the south of the old K1 Center, that's going to be closed down and removed ultimately, and then that load will be shifted over to the new Nichols Avenue substation, and then the new substation that we will be building out on Morphy. The big substation out on Fairhope Avenue next to the water tower that's just to the east of Fairhope Elementary East will also be shut down. So we're going to be, you know, we're moving one across the street there on, I believe that's Nichols there at the corner of Nichols and Young. We're moving it across the street because we purchased a parcel of land that's a little bit larger. We had no room to grow there. And then we don't have room to grow the Fairhope Avenue substation, so we're closing that one down and then moving it over to Morphy Avenue where we'll have more room to grow that.
Okay. So, when you say move across the street at Nichols and Young, Mitchell's property has been for sale right next to that substation for a long time. You couldn't reach a price for
that? You know, we looked at that. I can't remember. We did look at that. It was a narrow section behind it, if I recall, Lori. We did look into that, and I don't remember exactly what happened or why. Yeah, that didn't work for us. So we bought the piece of property from Riviera Utilities that was already, you know, had been purchased by Riviera for this very reason, should they have needed it in the future. And so they were, we were fortunate. They sold it to us at a great price as well.
Number 15, a new 2022 bucket truck for the electric department, $282,000. Was that a budgeted item as well?
What number was that?
Number 15, I'm sorry.
Okay, number 15. I can tell you that in just a moment.
The
I'm sure that it is.
Is like over right at 30 items. So that's a lot of money, but those bucket trucks are so important when we have power outages.
Yeah, so that's a great question because it is not on this year's budget, but it's proposed to be on the 2022 budget. And then this is, what do you do as a city council member when they, you have to project? And here's the why they have to do that. Things are so backed up, it's taking more than a year to get these. So
yikes.
We order this, it won't be in until FY 2022. So it's not on this year's budget. So council and mayor have to say, all right, we got to put that in next year's budget.
Wow.
And we can do that. I mean, it's a matter of, we've got to have it. So whatever it is else that we need in that budget, if we have to slash something, we'll have to just slash it. But we typically buy, you know, one or two very large vehicles per year. So that's not surprising at all.
Okay. On a lighter note, we've got a new scoreboard and play clock coming to WC Majors Football Stadium, item number 22. There's no price mentioned. Do you know yet?
No, we're actually going to just entertain. What we're doing is allowing the purchase of that because that's city property, the stadium, so they want to make an improvement. So they're actually going to, if you look at that,
looks like the booster club and
school clubs
and other clubs
will offer the financial assistance to purchase it. So we don't know how much the city will be asked. We anticipate it will not be very much at all. So until we get what that cost is, we had to give them the approval to move forward before they could go out and start trying to get the funds for it.
Okay. Number 21, although it's been there is a membership fee to use the city's gymnasium, the recreation center. In the past, folks could walk on the upper level walking track for free. Now there's a proposal for $10 a month to use that walking track.
Well, and I'll tell you, we've just run out of room. This came from the rec board. They made the recommendation that we charge for it because it's just getting crowded. And then the argument to be made there, I believe, in support of the fee is, you know, people are going there to exercise. They could walk their neighborhood, but they're going there to use an inside facility. You could say the same thing about the swimming pool. People go there and swim laps. Well, that may be one person's form of exercise. The other person's form of exercise is walking. So if we had to pay to construct an indoor walking facility, it's no different than paying to construct an indoor swimming pool. So
right.
People are using the facilities. I think that's the justification for the charge.
Okay. You're going into executive session. I'm presuming you can't tell us anything about that.
No, you know, some of these are, you know, we just have to get the lawyers will just brief us on a case. As a city, it's no surprise. There's always some litigation. Some litigation's more involved than others.
Okay, let's interrupt because sometimes executive session is talking about a property purchase or
right.
The good name of an employee.
Yeah. Nine
you've got
reasons
to keep
you can
private,
go into executive session.
But this is for possibly settling a lawsuit.
Right.
But you can't.
I can't tell you what the terms of that are because you have a, you know, because you don't want the person that's seeking the settlement to know where you stand on things. So that's what we will get an update as from the our legal team, and then you'll talk about legal strategies while you're in the executive session.
Okay. We're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 8:42 and 62 degrees in downtown Fairhope. I'm going to skip back to the work session agenda, which starts at 4:30, and it is the Working Waterfront Team presentation. Now, y'all had a presentation of the final plan a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Then I read a letter to the mayor and council by a local citizen and some others piped in, concerned about some of the aspects.
No doubt. Yeah, we caught some heat over not having the plans shown at that meeting. And you know what? I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with those concerns of people not seeing it. But what I do want to say is that, you know, but in that letter, I believe that it was also stated that we were going to pass that at the next meeting. And that was not true. So there was a lot of, I think that the people had a right that they had not seen it. But here's what the mayor and staff was thinking on that. They wanted to get the council on the same page. If we weren't on the same page and then we presented a plan to the citizens for public comment, then we're just, you know, it's going to be hard to get there. So we wanted to get to a rough draft that we could agree on before we give it to the public. Because if you give the public something that's a draft and we don't even agree with, there may be major components that we would disagree with later. So what they're going to see tonight is a rendering, and it's the only rendering that I've seen. It's I'd call it a landscape architect's rendering, and it'll show the key components. And what we need to decide on as a council soon, not this meeting, is we need to just decide on the key elements of the restoration plan, because we can move some of those components around. And some of the sticking points, Lori, I can just tell you is, you know, there's a bathroom at the south end of the park.
That's, we need a bathroom. Why would people complain about that?
Well,
you have to walk too far to a bathroom.
Yeah, we do need a bathroom there, but, you know, it's in the plan. Some people may not like exactly where it's at. Well, you can move that bathroom around, and that doesn't – so when we approve the plan, it doesn't mean that the bathroom has to stay in that very position. We could move it 50 feet or 100 feet. And I'll tell you why some people complain about that, because they're worried about themselves, and they want to complain because their property is right by it. And I'm going to tell you, some of these people that are complaining about it live near where some of these features are located. You know, and so some of it is you just have to educate them as to what exactly we're thinking. Most of the time, that solves the issue. I think it's a lot of times it's the fear of the unknown.
Well, unveiling the map might alleviate that fear.
I wasn't real happy that it wasn't unveiled at the last meeting.
It could be online right now. If I wanted to go look it up, I can't pull it up.
Yeah, well, I think that they want to hear from the council to see if we like the components, and then they'll unveil it for public comment to everyone. And that's okay. But I was a little miffed that it wasn't put up at the last meeting. You know, as a council member, and I don't think we're all high and mighty, but if you're staff and you're the mayor and you're going to brief the city council, then you need to come up there with some substance. You know, you need to bring and there was a lot of verbiage that was given to us of substance, but we need substance. And I'll give you an example.
So you don't even have your own private copy of the map in
your
booklet?
I don't have a private
booklet.
Copy of it. I've seen one copy, and it resides in the mayor's office. But, you know, I don't have any. If you look at my book tonight, I don't have any details on what's going to be given number two. I don't have any details on what's going to be given in number three. Number four is not in our book, although I've seen that presentation, a draft of it. There's about, you know, 10 pages on a discussion of an OSPE project at the Fairhope Docks. So that is for a pole to put a nesting site for an osprey. Well, I got 10 pages of that in here. I mean, that's not the most earth-shattering thing on the agenda tonight. It's nice, but I got 10 pages of something that's more irrelevant than any of the other items, and I have no information on the other.
Am I hearing what could be the first point of contention with the new administration?
No, don't try to make it. I'm just saying sometimes when we want to give things to people, I don't have it either. And you know, I keep saying I'm going to have this conversation with the supervisors in the council meeting. As you can see, this work session, we will barely get through it because it's a bunch of stuff that's been put on there. But if you're going to come brief the council, and I'm sure they're going to bring their presentations with us, but I can't brief the people on it right now.
Well, in part of the work session to introduce some concepts and ideas.
That's true, too. It is. But, you know, when we take a little heat for what occurred at the last council meeting during that briefing, The council got no more information than the public did.
Okay. So what are we going to do to change that? And are you going to introduce this
proposal?
Well,
they're going to show those plans tonight, and they put it on a work session notice. That's not on a council
So you're
meeting.
not going to move
so
it.
So it's kind of a redo.
You're not going to move it to the agenda for a vote tonight.
I personally would not.
Okay. Well, you're the council president, so if
you could have council members that can move to amend the agenda.
Okay.
But it only takes one vote to stop that. So that's, and I could tell you that I would vote no to place that on tonight's agenda. So
another concern expressed in the letter to the mayor and council was a huge building, and we need a pavilion of some type.
Oh, let me tell you. See, now that was a misconception. It's not really even a pavilion. It's just if you see the plans, it looks kind of circular, and it's right at the water's edge, and it's a place where people can gather. And there's no dimensions on the drawing, so I can't tell you whether that's a 20-foot diameter or a 40-foot diameter. but it's not that big, and it's not obtrusive. And somebody said it was going to block the view of the bay. No, it won't. It doesn't block the view of the
bay. It's an open-air stage.
It's kind of open air, and I think that portion of it is actually a very nice feature, and I would defend that feature.
If you've been to Earth Day or other events down there before, a stage like that,
it's like a little staging area, and it looks very attractive, at least on the drawings. And anybody on the bluff looking down, if anything, it might block 4 foot of the bay if you're standing right at the edge of the bluff looking straight down on it. But I don't personally, my personal opinion, that doesn't seem obtrusive at all. Maybe somebody just doesn't want that feature on that end of the park.
We haven't seen the pictures.
Well, I'm just saying, it seems to be that all the complaints are coming from what's going on the extreme south end of the park.
Where a resident lives.
Where people, you know, abut the property or live near the property. I'm not saying the people that abut the property are complaining, but people that live in that general vicinity are concerned.
Will you ask for the plan to be unveiled to the public again before y'all vote? I don't mean just on the little computer screen on YouTube that we can't really focus. I mean where we can like download it or look at it from the city's website.
I will absolutely ask that.
I think
that's the plan, though. In their defense, I'm pretty sure that that's the plan.
I think that would quell some concerns and observations if they could just see it, because you actually have taken a lot of public input over the project, even paused it between one administration and the other.
I mean,
reopened public
right.
input, addressed all the concerns, and came up with what I think is a great compromise. People just need to see it in order to feel comfortable.
Yeah, I believe so as well. And I would say that from where it was, and based on the public outcry, you know, it was changed. And when I say changed, a lot of the changes were removed. So the plans were changed, but the plans did not include additions. It was mostly in terms of deletions of what had been added.
Question. I've wondered this, and I had a citizen approach me as well. The funding for this project has to include some bluff restoration, does it not?
Yeah, and it does, yes.
But y'all said you're not cutting into the bluff anymore, right. So I guess we'll see that
tonight.
Well,
we asked that question at the last meeting about the vegetation, because everybody seems to think, if you talk to anybody, they seem to think the kudzu is doing a good job. You know, the experts will tell you that it's not the best, that there's other, you know, native species. And, you know, I think people could probably put up an argument for that. I mean, it is, it's fair to ask the question, you know, what's wrong with it now? But they say that it is eroding. It is eroding below that kudzu, and that we do need to preserve it. And there are ways to do it. And a lot of the expense of this project will be preserving that bluff. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. You know, there's Rose Garden area parking improvements. A major portion of this project is going to be fixing up the amenities on the pier, which is sorely needed. Oh, and by the way, something else positive, that utility tray that we've been talking about to run the utilities back out to the pier, I believe it may be in now, or it's going to be in any day. And our Fairhope crews, which we decided to have them perform the work, will be running that utility tray out to the pier, I want to say either this week or next week. So we'll be restoring the utilities out to the pier, I think, over the next couple of weeks, Lori. And ask the mayor that question. She knows more than I
will. She'll be here in the morning.
Yeah, I want to say it's over the next week or two. It'll be very soon.
But to refresh people's memories, you took a project that you were receiving bids of over $200,000,
right.
And the public works and electric water, everybody came together and decided, let's do it ourselves for under $50,000.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that they decided on themselves. I think we kind of told them they needed to do it, you know, after receiving these bids and then asking the question, why can't you do it? And at that point, they go, yeah, we can do it. And so we said, we'll do it. It's going to save us probably over $200,000.
And what about removing the sunken boats? I heard one time where the city was going to work with the restaurant leasee in order to come up with a plan. And then Fair Up Times reported that, you know, city can't touch them because of the lease. So where does that stand?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And when you said the restaurant leasee, they are also the marina leasee.
Yes.
So they have both leases. So we are still in discussions with them to try to get that taken care of. I mean, we have talked to some of the representatives of that leasee as recently as last week. And that's something that I know that the mayor and is working on to a large degree, and I'm working on it to a large degree, probably not quite as involved as the mayor. But that is something that, I know that the mayor is working on nearly every single day and trying to come to a resolution on that.
Well, does their contract state and their lease agreement that they're responsible for that?
Well, it states that the city is responsible for the maintenance of the marina. So you get the argument is, does the maintenance of a marina include sunken boats?
Well, because, isn't that the, why not that be the responsibility of the owner of the boat?
Well, that's where we're at going on this. I'm trying
see.
To avoid some legal
challenges
to some of this because there it starts getting into the legal realm.
It's ongoing.
It's ongoing. You know, there's also leases between the boat owners and the marina leasee.
Mm-hmm.
So there's...
it's complicated.
It's very, very complicated. And then when you bring maritime law into it, it gets even more complicated. So we're just trying to, we would really like to put it on the owners to get their boats out of there. You know, did they have insurance? Who was
right.
named as the insured?
Okay.
I mean, on and on. It's deep.
Before we run out of time, what else would you like to mention concerning tonight's meeting or anything else you may have heard from constituents? Before we run out of time, anything else
that
we want to mention?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about it a lot. Is that I think that the working waterfront plan, which is on tonight's work session, is maybe one of the largest items on tonight's agenda. So stay tuned, and we're going to get that out.
It's not on the meeting agenda.
Not on the meeting agenda. It's on the work session agenda. You know, I don't mind the comments. And we're going to have public participation on this. We're going to show the plans. Once again, it's not being adopted tonight. The other items to pay attention to are all the infrastructure. You've got a lot. You've got gas on tonight's agenda. You've got sewer on tonight's agenda. You've got electrical on tonight's agenda. You've got water on tonight's agenda. So just be patient with us. You know, I know there's detours around town. There's a lot going on, but it's necessary. And really, we haven't received any complaints about the construction going on. We're also, there are some fiber companies looking to come in and bring, there's at least a couple of them. We don't have agreements in place yet, but there are at least a couple of them looking to come into the city for those that complain about their internet services.
Can you say which ones?
I don't know that I can.
Okay,
I'll just go ahead and say, I don't think so. We're talking to C Spire, and we're also talking to Point Broadband about bringing fiber to the homes. And, you know, we're treating them both equally and, you know, telling them that this is what they need to do.
Does it have to be either or? And I know the council has to vote the agreement.
Absolutely not either or.
Because you've got Medicom, AT&T.
It can be any.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I'm just saying that we just need to treat them all, you know, equally.
Okay.
So, no, it doesn't have to be either or. That's something on that, you know, people should be excited about. Got the Arts and Crafts Festival coming up at the end of the month. It looks like that's certainly going to happen. We've got the new mask mandate, which is now recommended, not required necessarily. We recommend them at City Hall, but you're not required.
Okay.
I noticed at church yesterday, same thing. They recommended we wear them in, and we could take them off when we got seated. Now, that was nice, so you could actually hear the choir singing. But a lot of things going on, Lori. I appreciate you bringing the news to the people. And no, we are not having a fight with the council and the mayor.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that sometimes we like things the way they're presented to us, because sometimes we find out later, and you know me, I just kind of tell it like it is. I could have kept my mouth shut and not said anything and nobody would know, but you asked me the questions about how did we see this and what are we going to do with that. So, you know, I want to tell you the truth. So
we like the transparency. Now, if you will, Jack, take off the Fairhope City Council president hat and put on the chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization. You've got 2 minutes to tell us what's going on with our bridge, our Truckers Toll Bridge.
Yeah, the Truckers Toll Bridge. And, Lori, I really need about 2 hours to whenever we can have a – we need to get somebody to sponsor a show. Can you get somebody to pay for a couple hours and let's talk about that? Because
we can work it out.
I've got a lot to say about that. In short, though, the Eastern Shore MPO, I hope that to get that on our long-range transportation plan as soon as this week. Now, that's not the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan, which is it's required to be on there. I do want to get the plan on there very soon. Just remember that when we do that, that's not a plan in its final form. It's a plan that ALDOT can work with. We have to have it on there before they can expend funds on the planning. I have a lot of questions about that, and I have a lot of ideas about that. But, you know, the truck plan, the truck bridge, is a plan that will work. And so we have to do something.
What about straightening the entrance and exits to the tunnel? You know,
this weekend we see it every weekend. Phase one involves all of that. That's
really
that, yeah. It goes all the way back to Virginia Street.
That and will alleviate about 80% of the problem.
Well, it straightens it out for the bridge. So that is in phase one.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, but I do want to make clear that $725 million is not the whole project, and I've been asked that by many, many people. Is how are we doing it so cheaply now? Well, no, that's only phase one.
Phase one.
And we only want to talk about phase one because, you know, that's what we can handle right now. But I don't think you can turn a blind eye to future phases, phase two, which will be the second span, and phase three, which will be six lanes of elevated roadway.
Where can we see this plan? Is it anywhere online?
It's kind of like the restoration plan. I've only seen one copy of it, and it's
and you're the president. You're the guy.
I know. I don't have a copy of it there because it's once again, it's not a set of like engineering drawings. It's just a rendering. And I'll see if I can't find out whether or not they've posted that. I think it is posted somewhere, Lori. And because I've seen it, I don't have to go to the internet and look for it. But I need to do a better job of trying to get that out there to the public. I believe it does. I believe that there's a website, and maybe I can call you and you can add that to
your
website.
Okay. Text me. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Jack. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Always a pleasure to have you. Fairhope City Council meeting tonight at 6:00. Work session begins at 4:30. It's all available to watch live at Council Chambers, as well as on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel, where you can watch it live or later. Thank you, Jack, for your time.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan will be joining us tomorrow at 8:24 Community Contact. This is WABF, Mobile Fairhope. Great music and memories. Stay tuned for Swap Shop. Perhaps running a minute or two late. Now more great music and memories. Good morning.